I invite you to find in your Bible 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. Just one verse today I want to share with you. We live in very intense and stressful times. Whether you are a believer and follower of Jesus Christ or whether you're a non-believer, we have pressure on us. We have deadlines. We have time issues. We have competition for our time, for our finances and resources, for our energy. We have an increased appetite for stuff. And all of that combines to make life in our day very stressful, very difficult, very challenging. And in the middle of all that, we have an enemy that we have to deal with. His name is Satan. And there are a lot of people who will say, well, I don't believe that there is a being named Satan. Well, if you don't believe in Satan, it's hard to explain the evil that's in our world today. But he is a being that is fighting God. He's fighting God at every opportunity. And the spoils for this battle is for you and me, for the souls of men, women, boys, and girls. And so we're in this stressful, challenging time. We're in this warfare that we can't see, but we know is there. And the battle is for us. Now, I will tell you, almost weekly, I hear about pastors who, in the stress of their lives, the challenges of their lives, they're falling. They're falling out of ministry. Their families are failing. They are burned out, and they're getting whipped. And I know that if that is happening with pastors, I know it's happening with people in the pews. And so the title of the message today is Getting a Win. Getting a Win with Our Life. Now, before I read the passage, I do want to just talk to you for a moment about Satan's strategy, our enemy's strategy. It is really not complicated. It's very clear in the Scripture. His strategy is based on deception. And so there's two prongs to his strategy. The first is to prevent someone from placing their faith and trust in Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. And that's the primary purpose for his goal, because if he can stop someone from doing that, he wins that soul. And that is what he's striving to do. He does that by a number of ways. He'll do that by deception. He'll do that, like if you're in a worship service like this and God is speaking and you know, I really need to do this, then he will tell you, well, now wait, don't be in a rush. Think about this for a little bit. Maybe you want to pray about this for a little bit. Maybe you need to consider this for a little bit. Just don't do this today. And he'll get you over the hump this time, and that's what he's concerned with. And then when the next opportunity comes, he'll do the same thing. So he'll try to deceive you into putting something off and off, hoping you'll never get to it. And then he will give you substitutes. He will say, look, let's just substitute going to church. And substitute being a church member even, being a Bible. He'll let you do anything that might hint that all is right with God that would stop short of you actually placing your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. And there's no doubt in my mind that there are many in our worship service right now that you're going to be facing that in a little bit. You're going to know, well, I really need to do that today. That's what God is asking me to do. And you're going to hear that enemy who's going to say, well, now, hold on a minute. You might want to wait a while on this. You may want to think about this for a little bit. Just hold on. That's his primary strategy. After a person gives their life to Christ, his strategy shifts. And that's for most of us in here today, I think. The strategy then becomes, let's get into this person's life and make his life so intense and so complicated and so bogged down that that person will not be able to influence anybody else for Jesus Christ. And then he causes us to lose. In both cases, if Satan gets the win, we get the loss. And so what I want to do today is to share with you how we can get a win with our life. Now, everybody wants to win. I'm making an assumption. Is there anybody in here who wants to lose? Any losers? No losers in here. We want to get a win. We don't want to, you know, be a good loser. Well, why don't you be a good winner? And so we want to get a win. We want to get a win with our life. So look at what the passage. He says, 1 Peter 5:8. Be sober-minded. Be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. So he's on the prowl. He's roaring. And he wants to eat you. And so we're aware of who he is. We're aware of what he wants to do. And so I would like to share with you how we can get a win. First thing, I want to speak to you about some reasons that we suffer defeat. Whether it's to place our faith in Christ or whether it's to live an effective Christian life. First of all, we suffer defeat because sometimes we overestimate ourselves. We believe as the challenges of life come that I've got this. I can take care of this. I have the resources. I have the mental capacity. I have the contacts. I have the network. So no matter what comes my way, I've got this and I can handle this. And so we overestimate our ability, and somehow we seem to forget the words of Jesus when he said, without me, you can do nothing. And so we're out here facing all these challenges, and we think we got this. Now, I was raised in a small town, great atmosphere to be a kid. I didn't know it at the time, but it was really awesome. Had great parents, and one of the things that my parents instilled in me was that, Jim, you can do anything you want to with your life. There's nothing you can't accomplish. You have the ability, you have the gifts, you can just do anything. Set your mind to it, you work, you can do anything. And I believe that. And it's kind of a good thing to instill in your kids. You don't want to instill in them, you're a flop, you're a failure, you can't do anything. And so I bought that, and I believe that. That's kind of a double-edged sword, though, because I got out into my first church, I found I couldn't do very much. Because I was dealing with people who didn't want to do anything much. And so you can do anything you set your mind to, but the reality was, no, I could not. And it was extremely frustrating, and it was extremely defeating. In fact, it brought me to a place when I told God, I cannot do this anymore because I don't have the ability to do this. And I was on the brink of getting defeat because I had overestimated myself. And then I began to learn, yes, without Christ, I can do nothing. So it's a two-edged sword. Yeah, the sky's the limit, but in reality, apart from Jesus Christ, we can't really accomplish anything. And so if you think that you're bulletproof and that you're wise enough and you're talented enough that you can deal with whatever comes in your life, then I'm telling you, you're setting yourself up for defeat because you can easily overestimate yourself. And I will tell you that Satan oftentimes gets us at our strongest point. Because we think, well, here's where I'm strong, so I don't have to worry about that. And that's where he gets us. Because we overestimate our ability. Second reason that we can fail and get defeated is we underestimate Satan. Now, I will tell you that he has been around for a long time and he knows mankind very well. He knows you and me very well. He knows our strengths and he knows our weaknesses. And he has devised a very clear strategy that works. And it's as old as the Bible itself. In fact, you go all the way back to the Garden of Eden. And so here's kind of how his strategy works. First of all, he causes us to doubt God's word. It's that old temptation that he put before Eve. Did God really say that? And so he causes us to begin to doubt really what's in the Bible a little bit. And then he makes alternatives look really good. He took the fruit and he said, Eve, take a look at this fruit right here. Doesn't that look good? Did God really say you couldn't eat? Because he's just not wanting you to have something good. And so that temptation looked so good that Eve took the bite, and then Adam took the bite, and so in reality, we've all taken the bite. And so he takes the Bible and twists it. Now, I'll give you a quick illustration, and it's a kind of a touchy topic, but you know what? We really need to talk about touchy subjects. It is very clear what the Bible says about marriage. Do you agree? I mean, the biblical view of marriage is very clear. And it's easy for us in here to say that and say, yeah, that's right. But the culture has cast doubt on God's word on marriage. And it's saying that is an ancient position, and the Bible and what is taught has got to change with the times. And there's a better definition of marriage, and it looks really good, and it sets everybody free, and the culture has just jumped all over that. And then they've taken that step of taking people like you and me, who actually still hold to that biblical view, they put us in a pen out here on the other side of nowhere and said, those people are irrelevant, and they are backwards, and they are racist, and they are haters, and everything else. I'll just tell you a little side street. Culture can do whatever it wants to me, but I'm going to stick with the Bible. And I hope that you'll stand with me, and if we get put out in a pen, we'll just get put in the pen. Because God can break us out of that pen anytime He wants to. And so that's kind of how that works. It works in this temptation. And so if He can get you to find fault with the Word, with the Bible, or if He can get you to find fault in the church. Because if you find fault in the church, then your temptation is to be, since there's fault in the church, I'm going to quit the church. And if He gets you to quit the church, He's basically made you ineffective in impacting anybody else for Christ. And so I would just tell you that it doesn't matter what church you're in, you can find fault in it. I think if you look hard enough, you could find fault in our church. I mean, go no further than Kirk Lukey. I mean, dude, you can't... yeah, I'm going to get him every chance I get because he needs it. But you can find fault. And the reason you can find fault in every church is because it's made up of people. And if you hadn't noticed, people have problems. And people are messed up. And that's who we are. And so if you allow Satan to make you focus on faults within your church, then it's going to cause you kind of to talk about that to others. And actually, you're even worse than ineffective. You're ruining other people. And so, there we underestimate Satan's ability. We really need to recognize he's really slick in what he comes and how he comes at us. A third thing that would lead to our defeat is we under-evaluate sin. If you ever say this to yourself, well, this is not that big a deal, what's it going to hurt? Well, I would just tell you that little thing that's not going to hurt kind of begins a progression. And let me read you what the progression is. It's in James 1, 14 and 15. It says, but each person is tempted when he is lured and enticed by his own desire. Now, believe it or not, those are fishing terms. Talking about a lure that you use to make the fish think it's dinner. He'll hit it, and then he becomes dinner. It says, then desire, when it has conceived, gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is fully grown, brings forth death. And so when we begin to say, well, this is such a little thing, it's not going to hurt anybody, it's not going to hurt me, I'm telling you, the end of that road is devastating. And it can bring you into defeat. When I was a younger teenager, one of the things that we used to do is we would get a machete and go out to some of the stock tanks, the ponds, and we would chop up water moccasins with our machetes. Now see, you got to remember that the male brain ceases to work at about age 12. And then about age 20, 22, it kind of starts coming back and starts working. So I was in that period with no brain cells working. And so, amen, there went Kirk. He's in the house. Kirk's in the house. And so I was there. We were looking for water moccasins to chop with the machetes. And I saw a little one in the little path right in front of me. And I thought, oh, yeah, I'll chop this little dude in half. I went, cheep. Well, what I didn't realize, this little bitty snake there, it was just the little tail of a really big one. So when I chopped his tail off, man, all this started rustling and started in knee-high weeds. And that big dude started running. And I had a holy wiggle right there, and that was the last time I did that. But the point is, what may seem to be something very small is attached to something really big and really dangerous. So don't underevaluate the negative impact that sin will have on your life. Sin is stepping outside of God's boundary. When you step outside the boundary, that's going to take you to a defeated life. And then the fourth thing I would tell you is that we can get defeated when we're unaware of our snares. We're unaware of the challenges. We all have blind spots. Did you know you have a blind spot or two? A blind spot is something that you don't see is wrong with you, but everybody around you sees. And the only way you're going to find out what your blind spot is if somebody tells you. And so when we're unaware of our blind spots, we are impacting our witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we're just kind of making our way through life, and everybody's saying, well, there we go. I was preaching a revival meeting at a church years ago, and I was staying in the pastor's home. And he's a good friend, and they had a back bedroom where I stayed. Well, he had married to a really nice, pretty girl. They had a daughter and seemed fine. But, man, I want to tell you, the relationship between the man and his wife was toxic. They didn't talk. They were very cold to one another. And it was like, dude, you're headed for a train wreck here. He didn't see it. He didn't know it. And maybe I failed. I didn't have the courage to sit him down and say, man, you got a train wreck in your future if you don't do something with your wife. I didn't, and they ended up divorced. Huge impact on his ministry. And so these blind spots, these areas that we've got issues, if we're unaware of these snares, we're unaware of the challenges, unaware of the time restraints, unaware of where our energy is going, it can all lead us to defeat, cause us not to say yes to Jesus in the first place. And if we've said yes to Jesus, we'll render our witness ineffective and cause our life to be a loss. And so there are just some of the things that can cause us to lose. Let's switch gears and let me spend the rest of our time sharing with you how we can get a win. All right? First of all, we get a win when we run from temptation. We run from temptation. You remember Joseph in Potiphar's house. Potiphar's wife made a play at him. He ran off, ran out of his coat and ran. And so we run from temptation, realizing that temptation is going to destroy us. I'll give you an illustration. Suppose that you have an issue with alcohol. Well, maybe what you need to do is find a different route to drive home that doesn't take you by the liquor store, so that every time you drive by, you don't hear the call. So you avoid the temptation. If you have a problem with the opposite sex, then just make it a point you're never going to get into a compromising situation where something could happen. And so run from temptation. You may say, well, now, you know, how does Satan, is Satan so smart that he knows, how does he know where my weakness is? Well, he just watches you. He observes you. You're living your life and going along carefree and enjoying everything, and he puts this temptation there and you just kind of walk past it. He puts another one here, you kind of just walk past it. Puts another one there, you walk past it. Then he puts this one here and you kind of stop and you take a second look and he says, found it. And so know where your weakness is. and run from temptation. Avoid getting into those situations. Second thing, we get a win when we accept responsibility. Man, we're good at the blame game, aren't we? It's not my fault. Adam said, it's not my fault. Eve did it. Eve said, not my fault. Snake did it. We're still passing the buck. And I know some people, man, they'll throw everybody under the bus because they just do not want to own whatever they've done. Listen, own it. You did it. Own it. Don't blame anybody. You did it. When I was playing baseball, we had a kid didn't play very much. He would sit on the bench. Somebody would strike out. If you ever played baseball, you don't like to strike out. And you get upset when you strike out. And sometimes somebody throw their bat. You remember you've done that before? You chunk your hat. He'd sit on the bench. He'd kind of chuckle. And he said, I don't know why you're upset. You did it. You did it. And I'm sitting there thinking, man, that's pretty good. And I still remember it to this day. Man, I really messed that deal up. Well, you did it. Own it. Take it to God. Say, God, I really messed this deal up. I did it. Wasn't my wife's fault. Wasn't my husband's fault. Wasn't my parents' fault. It definitely wasn't the preacher's fault. It was Kirk's fault. You own it. He started it. I'm going to bury that sucker today, man. But take responsibility for your life. Take responsibility for your actions. Own it. Deal with it. It'll help you get a win. Third thing, you get a win when you become accountable. When there is someone that you will willingly answer to. Part of our men's ministry, we try to major on accountability. Somebody who you love and you know loves you, who will be honest with you, who will come to you and say, you know what, I'm seeing that you're kind of slipping a little bit. And what's going on with your life? That's part of the strength of a small Bible study group that we have here on campuses. And there's other accountability groups that meet during the week. It will hold one another accountable to help us from becoming ineffective in our walk with Christ. And so find you an accountability person, somebody who will check on you, somebody who, if necessary, will call you out. And that will help you stay on track. Warn those to see those blind spots. The fourth thing I would say, we get a win when we're on our guard. Be vigilant. Never asleep at the wheel. In fact, our verse said, be sober and be watchful. I will tell you, there's never a day that I leave my house that I have not, before God in prayer, put on the full spiritual armor of God. Because I know I'm about to go out into a world that I have a bullseye on me by Satan. And if I let down my guard, he's going to come at me. And I don't know how it is with you, but any time that I do let down my guard, there's always one of you to see it happen. It never fails. Every year, at the end of the year, my wife and I celebrate our anniversary. We take a trip and do something. By the way, we're going to hit 40 years this year. Can you believe that? Me and my wife have been married 40 years. And so, anyway, we had taken our trip, and it was a Sunday morning. We weren't in church, had a pinch hitter for me, and we're coming back from our trip, and she says, I got to go to Sam's. Now, I don't know how you feel about that, but that's a horror story for me. I said, my pleasure on this trip just ended horribly. We got to stop at Sam's. I said, well, it's like 11 o'clock Sunday morning. Yeah, that's good. Just go to Sam's. Nobody else is. So we're in Sam's. I'm standing in the aisle waiting. Been waiting for 2 years waiting. Oh, good morning, Pastor. 11 o'clock Sunday morning. And I think, aren't you in church? And they're thinking, why aren't you in church? Caught. I want to tell you, you always got to be on your guard, reminding yourself of the constant warfare, that you have an adversary and he's wanting to eat you. Be on your guard. I will tell you, more harm can be done in 5 minutes when we're unguarded than it can take a lifetime to correct. A fifth thing, this is really crucial. We get a win when we choose our friends wisely. Oftentimes somebody will come to know Christ and they're saved out of a lifestyle that's not wholesome, and they do really good for a bit, and then they start hanging out with their old buddies. And soon they're kind of doing some of the stuff they were doing before they got saved. And soon their old buddies drag them all the way back into that stuff. And so do not underestimate the impact that your friends have on you for good or for bad. And again, that's where the church steps in such an important way, particularly small groups, provides you with some friendships that are going to point you in the right way, not in the wrong way. Choose your friends very carefully. It will prevent you from defeat. And then the last one, we get a win when we determine to live a pure life. And I'm talking about taking a stand. I'm talking about making a commitment to say to God, I am part of your family, I'm staying in your family, I am going to live a life that honors you, and here I stand, and I'm not going back on it. And I will tell you, men, that's what it means to be a man. To tell God, your family, your wife, I am following Jesus Christ, and I'm not backing off of this. There is huge power in commitments like that. That's what it means to be a woman of faith. I'm taking my stand. I'm walking with Christ. I'm not backing off. I'm not giving it in. I'm making that stand. I'm making that commitment. I can remember a dad telling his son years ago in our church, son, don't go radical on all this religious stuff, despite what they're telling you at church. Just don't go radical on that. The son didn't. And now the son is off in the world living a totally ineffective life for Christ. I would just say to you, if we're not willing to get radical about Jesus Christ, then what are we going to get radical about? In this world in which we live, we'll stand out like a sore thumb. But I will tell you, God will do incredible things through us if we do get radical about Jesus Christ and about the gospel and about the ministry and about what God is doing in our church. And in our lives, there will be wholesomeness and completeness and power and great influence, and we will get a win with our lives. We're going to have a song in just a moment. Before we get there, I want to tell you that right now, there's no doubt that there are battles that are being waged in our midst. There's some in here, you have never given your life to Jesus Christ. And you know you'd really like to do that. You don't know what it looked like, but God's speaking to you today. And you're hearing a voice saying, look, pray about this, think about this, don't do this today, don't do that, just hang on, you're going to be fine, just refrain. That's a strategy. It is a roaring lion, and he's wanting to eat you. Don't let him get that wind today. You get the wind. While we're singing in a moment, we'll have staff right here. If you'll make your way to one of them and just share, today I'd like to find out how I can give my life to Jesus Christ. We'll go to a quiet place, talk with you about that, work you through it. There's some of you who are visiting our church today. You're checking it out, thinking about it, praying about it, and if God gives you freedom, this would be a great day for you to join our church. We'd love for you to get on board with us. God is doing some really good things here, despite the problems that we have. Man, we'd love for you to get in here with us. Come, speak to one of these counselors. We'll make that happen. It may be that you've kind of become ineffective. You would say, you know, I do know Jesus Christ, but the pressures of the life, the challenges, everything's getting squeezed out of me, and I've kind of lost control. I've gotten entangled. I need to get free. Maybe you want to come and just pray today. We've got some new kneelers here at the front. You can come and break them in today. Feel free to do that. Let me just say to you, you've kind of been playing around with this thing for a while. Church is okay. Bible study is okay. But really, don't want to go too radical on this Jesus deal. You become prime for the adversary to eat you for dinner. Maybe today's the day that you make the unqualified stand and say, yes, I'm going to live for Jesus Christ. I'm going to be the man who leads my family to do that. I'm going to be the woman that leads my family to do that. I'm going to do it. I'm going to take a stand for Jesus Christ with my life. Man, I encourage you to do it. If you do it, you'll be on your way to getting a win. Now, before we do that, let me tell you, the roar of a lion has never hurt anybody. So he's prowling around roaring. But all it takes from Jesus Christ to quiet him is one word. And I want to tell you this. Greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. Let him roar all he wants to. He's not going to eat us, because we've taken our stand in Jesus Christ. So to say yes to Christ, to join our church, to come and to pray and recommitment, to come and get free, or to make that stand, let's make it happen today. And let's get on the road for a giant win and not a loss. Let's stand together and worship. I invite you right now, as soon as we begin to sing, make your way here. And we'll be delighted to help you on a pathway to an incredible win with your life. Let's worship. Won't you come?